B-Pod Studios.
Opinionated. Farias is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, now that I think of it, the team playing as well as it did here down the stretch, and we've had this conversation with you a million times over the years about, is Boston really a destination? NBA players want to go to L.A. They want to go to Miami. They want to go to New York. They want to go to those places. Does the performance of the team, in your mind, at all alter that with regard to attracting free agents? And then furthermore, does it help you at all in the bid to get the All-Star game?
Well, I don't know about the All-Star game. I think they would cycle it through if we really wanted it. They would make it happen, and we do really want it. So that's my prediction or hope, not speaking for the NBA. But in terms of a destination, you know, Ime is a good example, actually. He was a free agent coach, in a sense, right? And he had, I think, 8 jobs to choose from, probably, or 8 to interview. You know, there were, like, 8 open jobs. And we interviewed a few people, other people that interviewed him. I think he told everybody to wait, and he picked us. In other words, so that's a bit of a free agent signing in a way.
I disagree with that answer quite a bit. And I, you know me, Zo, big Wick fan, love the owners that give a damn. In fact, here's a way that I would say, don't compare coaches to players. You know why? Coaches are older, more mature, and they value different things than players do. And a coach values good ownership and a team's commitment and their level of engagement from ownership, and those are all compliments to Wick and his team.
Facility.
Because they're all those things, yep. Right? They're invested in the team, yep. Both monetarily and day-to-day. You know, good facilities, good team, well-run by all accounts, right?
Good city, yep.
Like, those are not things that really matter to players. We've been over this.
Yeah, but coaches don't put people in the seats. You know what I mean? It's the players that put people in the seats. You want this to be a destination for players. You want players to come here. Coaches come here. That's great. Yeah, that's great. He picked you. Did he really interview? Did he have 8 opportunities out there?
I don't buy that.
Probably had 2 or 3.
But I just disagree on this part that you should compare Ime Udoka choosing the Celtics as a free agent to a player choosing the Celtics. I don't believe they're the same thing.
I don't think that's going to sway any player to want to come here just because he chose to come here. I'm with you on that. I think you want players to believe this is a destination.
You know what would make it a destination right now? The fact that they were just in the NBA Finals. The fact that they have 2 young players that, and especially Tatum, that the stars in the league look at and say, oh, that guy can play. That guy's real. That's a good team there. That's what's going to, when Rob Williams is healthy and other players watch him, they say, wow, that guy's really good. So I think those are the things that are now working in the Celtics' favor as far as the destination goes. Their success, what they just did. So who's the free agent that needs to choose Boston? Who is it? Who is it? Who do you need? Which free agent should they be going after at the moment?
Is Bradley Beal going to be a free agent?
Next
he kind of chuckled at that.
Still under contract.
Yeah, but I guess he could opt out, right? And he said, but he could also extend his contract by another $6.3 million, you know, on top of what he's owed, which is like 36 point something, 36.5, I think. So he's going to make bank either way, and I just don't know if you afford that. And then you're giving up a ton to go get that guy. But he would be a free agent, so you wouldn't have to give up anything. But I don't know. I don't know, because I think you're content with 4 of the guys. Is there really a point guard out there that could facilitate and become more of like that playmaker that Brad Stevens is sort of talking about, like to upgrade and add to the roster? Who can that be?
617-779-0985. A Lakar in Boston on the Celtics.
Yes, if you're talking about a 2 point guard, go back and get Isaiah Thomas, please.
No.
He's hurt.
He's done. He's toast.
Damaged.
They've had multiple opportunities to bring him back, and they've decided against that because everyone has decided against that. The guy can't play anymore. No. Ari's in Newton. Hi, Ari.
How you doing?
Good.
So I'll just talk about, you know, bringing a potential Bradley Beal here, which I never think is going to happen.
Nor do I.
I've got a question. I got like a question though. Why the hell do we want to do that? Bradley Beal never made it past the second round of the playoffs. We saw a young Jason Tatum just literally crap his pants on the biggest stage in the NBA. I mean, this guy never made it past the second round. How do we know what to expect from that? Also, why would we risk jeopardizing? And I get it, smart. I get all the problems with that. This year, at least the second half of the year, it looks like we somewhat controlled that. I don't want to move Williams. I don't want to move anybody in our starting lineup. Al, not even Al. Why don't we go out and try to get a couple really key good bench pieces? Or maybe, sorry, you got, and I know the allegations in this and that, and I know he's old, but a Rajon Rondo would be perfect for the Celtics, for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. What about even a P.J. Tucker or guys like that? Why are we trying to go out and get a superstar, especially one that hasn't made it past the semis?
Okay, I generally agree with your point there, but I also don't need Rajon Rondo back either. No. Nope. No one bringing back Thomas. No one bringing back Rondo.
Cranky old point guard.
Yeah. Nope. Not going to do either of those things.
Like, Al's really the only guy you can move. It really is. It's Al and the rest of the bench up for grabs if you're taking calls on anybody. The other four guys are keeping. And I don't think they're ready to get rid of Smart. I really don't. We talked about Smart yesterday. You know, people are thinking, like, okay, maybe if you combine Smart with Al and this, like, Al's worth 27.5.
Do you think they'll consider it? And I think this is sort of interesting about this offseason. Now, I wouldn't, but I know that they've considered it in the not-so-distant past, trading Marcus Smart. Obviously, I think things changed a little bit when this team found its identity and found its chemistry, and everyone seems to be getting along now, and they're taking coaching, and they've been coached hard, and they rode it all the way to the, you know, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. So I think things have changed a little bit for Marcus Smart's situation here. His contract is very tradable, as you've said a number of times. A number of teams would probably be interested in trading for him. He's you'd be trading in a good time. The value's good on him right now.
Good experience pro.
Yeah. So the question is, would the team still consider it? Will Brad Stevens consider that in a way to get very aggressive, right? If he thinks, I don't want to turn into one of those teams that makes it to the finals once and never gets back.
Unless he
I don't want to be one of those teams. I think the way we avoid that is by being very aggressive. I think it's dangerous.
Unless he really thinks, like, you know, those other two guys need help. They do. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tolerate the amount of turnovers that we've had, especially in this last series where we're dribbling down lane, running into walls. Balls are bouncing off guys' legs, off their feet, being thrown into the second row, being thrown to spots where you thought players were going to be. Unless he really thinks, I could go get these two guys that can fit and play with my two stars. I think that's how he entertains it. I think that's his job. He has to entertain all calls. If you can upgrade your team, you upgrade your team. That's the way that league works. Guys are on the move all the time.
Guess who's trying to trade him? Chris Gasper wants him gone. Wants Marcus Smart traded by the Celtics this offseason. We'll get to that, and we'll get to what Brad Stevens is saying about adding to his roster, and we'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's quite a fine line. If you ask me right now what we need, I'd like to have a little bit more scoring, consistent scoring off the bench. And, you know, I think that we have some short-term needs there, but I believe in a couple of the guys that didn't get a chance to play as much, that they will continue to improve and be knocking on that door soon. So we have some development opportunities within our own organization, and you know, we'll continue to scour and look at what our opportunities are with our, you know, trade exceptions and the draft, and you know, our limited resources and free agency.
Brad Stevens talking about the offseason. I took his answers as the team's not looking to do anything dramatic.
How about that last part? What does that mean?
If you listen to Wick yesterday, he said, you know, we're looking to tweak. We're not looking to blow it up.
Right.
That's what he said yesterday.
I agree
so
with that.
I just think that's the direction they're going. Maybe behind the scenes, though, It's something entirely different.
Well, I mean, as a former head coach in this league and, you know, a pretty damn good coach, Stevens has been around the game a long time. There's no way he could sit there and watch that series and not want to correct a turnover issue. That could even be more talent than beyond just coaching. You can sit there and talk about not turning the ball over and being smart with the ball and let's run our offense and all that. Unless you really look at it and you watch the film, not like we do, sit there with their feet up, eating chips, watching games. You know, they do it from a overhead perspective. I'm like, well, this isn't right. This guy is limited in what he can do here.
Here's what
if they feel that way, they got to change it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Here's what Gasper writes in the Globe. Running it back with the same group that played 5 months of grade A basketball to reach the franchise's first finals since 2010 is tempting for Brad Stevens. It's the easy call, but like a Zach Zarbo whistle, it's probably not the right call. He says this offseason is the time for Stevens to think big and bold in pursuit of Banner 18, and that means being willing to part with the longest tenured Celtic, Marcus Smart. He says this is hoops heresy to Smartophiles who have put the point guard on a pedestal. You don't want to put the point guard on a pedestal, so.
You know what happens after that.
You know, you don't put the point guard on a pedestal. And you're ready to put his number in the rafters. Angry emails are reaching my inbox at Mach 2 speed at the mere suggestion of parting with his beloved Boston basketball binky. That's a lot of alliteration there. That's wow. Like Channel 7 level.
Casper.
Beloved slapping. Boston basketball binky. But Smart is the one movable piece that can bring back what the Celtics lack, and that is better playmaking. He says, and this is the part that I do find interesting and I think is different from, you know, a year or two ago, and that is Smart's value will never be higher. He's 28 Ooh. Years old.
Okay.
He's the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. He averaged a career-high 5.9 assists, and he's on a reasonable contract.
He's making a pretty good point there.
Like, no,
as far as the value.
No, that's the
right.
best. That's all correct. That, and then that's what I just mentioned last segment. It's the very best case of Marcus Smart and why they should trade him. And I don't think they should, but I know that they're going to be tempted to consider it because it's a good time to do it.
Right.
His value is high. He's coming off a good year. The contract is good. We said that when they signed the deal. I said, well, at least the good news is they can trade that guy. And then they had this great year, and that's when it gets hard to do this. And I would lean on the side of keeping him. But they may not. And I think there was also one point where maybe Felger, Murray, Jones read a little bit too much into it. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're totally right. But it was sort of mentioned in the Wick interview yesterday that there was, you know, guys really accepting and growing in their roles, and you heard guys get mentioned, but Smart.
That's Smart.
Yeah.
That's Smart.
No, but he didn't get mentioned.
I know he didn't get mentioned, which is odd because I think if you look at
that,
this team.
Right? Did you hear that?
Yeah. And if you
go back to our first interview with Udoka when he said
Pillars.
The Pillars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I mean, and this is part of the whole tone of the Gasper. Like, a lot of people think he's better than what he is. And Chris may be right. You know, when you watch the NBA a lot, it's what do you value? A lot of people value offense more than defense. They really do because it's scores league. But I thought it was interesting what Steven said there right at the end, you know, with my limited free agency resources. What does he mean by that? That it's a crappy market?
Well, no, right now.
I really can't move any?
They're up against it.
Yeah.
They've spent a lot of money. They don't have to trade someone.
Yeah. So that kind of tells you I'm not really doing that. If you're limited, you already know, like, we like the four we have. We do love what Al brings, but let's make it $28 million. You know, could we do better with that 28? Yeah, you have no other bigs unless you love Tice.
Let's get some of your calls. 617-779-0985. TJ's in Rhode Island. Hi, TJ.
Hey guys, how are we doing today?
Hi.
I just want to see. So I know he just opted into a big number, but what do you guys think about John Wall? I mean, if we're talking about if he's healthy,
$45 million.
$48 million.
Oh, $48 million. Sorry,
$48 million.
huge number. But
yeah, no,
if they could work that out or fix that out, I mean, he averages twice as many assists as
you're giving up half your roster.
No,
to get one player.
No way. The money doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
That money does not work. That is not going to work for the Celtics at any point this year. Brandon in Boston. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my phone call. So, yeah, I think Marcus Smart is a valuable piece, and there's a lot of valuable pieces to be traded, but There's talks about Jordan Clarkson. I think that's a legit six man on this team. You can get him and you can get more by trading more pieces, get a legit playmaker on this team, whether it's Ricky Rubio or Dennis Schroeder. And I heard talks about Ricky Rubio that he can't score, he can't shoot. The guy can score. He look at his field goal percentage. He's 40% from the. His field goal percentage is 40%. So people are talking about Ricky Rubio can't score. I think you need to look at his highlights. I think Ricky Rubio is a legit point guard in this league, a playmaker. So people talking about Ricky Rubio, I think he got it all wrong.
Are people saying that? People are saying that Ricky Rubio can't score? Is that a big
mass? Mass on after yesterday. Somebody called them about Ricky Rubio. Mass, no way! Ricky Rubio! Give me a break!
Manny's in Malden. Hey, Manny.
Hey, I know he already left the team, but the Hornets are talking about Red Sun on Hoops Hype about Gordon Hayward and them offloading a first-round pick. They got the 13th and the 15th of this draft. What do you guys think about bringing back Gordon?
I think it's a bad idea because he doesn't want to be here.
It didn't work here.
That's why. Here. I mean, you're bringing a guy back to a situation that he didn't want to be in. He didn't want to play for this team.
I don't think he'd play in this market and this team.
I don't think he liked it here.
He's not a fit. He's not a fit here. It's not bad. He figured that out. Was grateful that he chose to come here because
I like the player.
Not a lot of free agents were picking to come here. You know, Al Horford started it. He was the second. Kyrie Irving probably wouldn't have been here if you didn't have him. You know, that was a pretty sexy starting five when you looked at it back in the day when all those guys were healthy heading into that year. I remember that. They did the photo shoot. All five of them standing there. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good team. Never came to be. Guy got hurt early and then was downhill after that.
But tomorrow is draft night, by the way, and I know the Celtics already gave away their first-round pick, but you
second
never know.
Rounder. Get a good second rounder.
It's the time of year when trades do happen. Things do happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right around now.
Hello.
Tim in Plymouth, go.
Hey, yeah, so I think Russell Westbrook would be probably the best fit for the Celtics right now. He's desperate for a championship, clearly going to LeBron and AD, and he can't score right now, but he can distribute the ball and get to the hole, which the Celtics couldn't do. You add PJ Tucker to that, and you have a legitimate either put Marcus Smart on the bench and have PJ Tucker also come off. And if they had both those guys, would they have won a championship against the Warriors?
Maybe. I'm trying to figure out the money on Westbrook and what that would mean. I think it's unreasonable to think about it, but it's got to be a big, big dollar figure, does it not? There's only one team that's actually expressed real interest, according to The Ringer, by the way. Kevin O'Connor said it was the Hornets, and that involved the deal potentially moving the contract of Gordon Hayward. Now we are in the weeds. We are in the weeds on NBA trade.
Gordon Hayward.
The question is, do you trade Marcus Smart or not?
Westbrook.
That was the start of this. Do you trade him or not? Brian's in the car. Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Hi, man.
I got, like, two players you would think about trading or trying to acquire. The first one would be De'Aaron Fox from the Kings. I think I don't know if Sacramento would give him up considering they made a big trade last year. And then my other one or two would be one of the Morris twins. I feel like when they were here in Boston, they kind of brought that tenacity and that fire. And I think now with Tatum maturing and try to get more of a meaner side, I think one of them would be a good piece to, you know, get Tatum under his skin and try to, you know, try to motivate him even more. Thanks, guys.
Doesn't Grant Williams serve the Morris?
Yeah.
Did he even play in the Heat series? He barely played.
Yeah. And did they do any motivating? Did Marcus Morris do any motivating? Like, what? We got to stop recycling players here.
Yeah.
We got to stop doing that. At least Fox isn't one of those guys.
Illness and a hip issue.
Sean in Auburn. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing? You know, I listened to Wick yesterday, and Wick was saying that he's willing to go the extra mile and spend the extra money if the Celtics need to put a great team in place. What are we talking about with Russell Westbrook and John Wall, who hasn't played in 3 years? Sign Jalen Brunson. See if you can do a sign and trade with Dallas. We have a $17 million trade exception. Get Jalen Brunson in here. He's a real point guard. He's a square peg in a round hole in Dallas. Move Marcus Smart to the sixth man. Boom, we're in business.
It's that easy.
Simple.
That simple. 617-779-0985. You had Celtics thoughts. We will talk about that. Red Sox, Gronk things, all of that is in the mix. I do want to get to news, a report, potential for a Bruins trade. That stuff happens this time of year too, you know. Why don't we do that next? Elliot Friedman on the possibility of a Bruins trade. That's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Boston's number one plan is we're going to sign David Pastrnak. But if all these rumors are true and Pastrnak says, I don't want to stay here, then they're going to come out. Meet with Pastrnak, with him eligible. The Bruins are going to. So this is what I think you're looking at here. So first of all, Pastrnak, the Bruins and him are going to have a meeting in early July.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bruins are going to present. So free agency date this year is July 13th. That's the first day that the Bruins are eligible to sign David Pastrnak to an extension. The Bruins are going to meet with Pastrnak, with him in early July, and I believe at that time they're going to talk to him about an extension, and I do believe they're going to come at him with one. I think Boston's number one plan is we're going to sign David Pastrnak. But if all these rumors are true and Pastrnak says, I don't want to stay here, then I think they're going to trade him. And I think they could trade him sooner rather than later.
Elliot Friedman talking about what we knew was going to happen. That's David Pastrnak is going to have his meeting with the Bruins, and they're going to sort of, you know, figure things out, hopefully, about having him here long term. But there have been rumors about him possibly not wanting to be here long term. And if the Bruins find out that he's not going to sign a contract this offseason to stay long term, they might be tempted to trade him. Let me give you a scenario that's already been written about and rumored. You know, message board type stuff. If the New Jersey Devils, who have the second overall pick in the 2022 NHL draft, call the Bruins about David Pastrnak and say, we'll give you the second overall pick for Pastrnak, do you do the deal?
You asking me?
Yeah. I don't.
No.
No.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there.
No.
I'm just throwing it out.
Because I immediately go back to the whole Hall-Sagan thing, and you had both players here, and you still have one of them. And you know what Sagan turned out to be, and that didn't work out. And I have no clue who the number two pick's going to be because I don't know the college market and what the draft market is right now. There's no guarantee that he could play and be that type of scorer.
Exactly.
Pastrnak's a proven high-end scorer in his league with unreal talent.
On paper, you say yes.
Why? Because of the monetary commitment?
Because it's a player for the number two pick. But as Hardy says, play the tape to the end. Who's making that pick?
Okay, that's where there's a massive issue. Don Sweeney's still the GM. Can you believe it? That guy's still here.
Would you view it differently if he
was here when they made the Sagan trade?
Yeah.
And moved him. And then he was here for that draft. Of 14, 15, 16, the three picks in a row. Those were the numbers, right?
Yeah, 13, 14, 15.
Or 13, 14,
15. 13, 14,
three 15. Picks in the first round. He then blew that.
Well, it was really Peter who wanted to move him.
Right.
I wanted to keep him.
Right, sure. Sure. But anyway.
Well, DeBrusk is Cassidy's fault, right?
Yep. So
if I thought the Bruins had any chance of drafting somebody with that second overall pick that after two seasons would give you 34 goals and then 35 and then 38 and then 48, then fine.
Hang on. But we all want him here, right? We all want that. So
I want Pastrnak.
This is really what the question is. It's not would you trade him for the number two pick. It's if he tells you he doesn't want to play here, if he indicates that I'm not really eager to sign a deal, I'd like to hit free agency, If that happens, then would you rather they trade for the number two overall pick or try and trade him for current NHL level talent? Guys that are currently in the league on other rosters, or a singular guy that's on a league, on a team in the league somewhere else. And in that situation,
have you heard a name in that scenario?
No, I haven't. I can't attach a name to that yet. I'm just throwing it out there in theory.
If the meeting doesn't
go well,
yeah,
and he says, I'm not eager to stay here with the Bruins, I want to hit free agency next offseason, I think they've got to consider moving him if that happens, because to me, that's a clear-cut sign he doesn't want to be here.
What was the
timeline? If he wants to be here, he'll sign a contract, and they'll throw a big number at him.
What's the timeline? So it's mid-July, they want to sit down and talk with
him? Early July. They're probably going to meet with him.
Are you going to have an answer on Bergeron yet by then?
They probably will.
You're going to know a timetable on Marchand. If he's looking at it like, okay, if Bergie's retiring and Marchand's got two bad hips and he's not ready for 6 months, shoot, I don't want to be here.
Right. What's going to happen this? If he says, you know what, I'm going to hit free agency, if he doesn't say move me, even if he just said I'm not ready to sign a deal right now, I want to play out the year.
I think he rides it out.
You've got to start thinking about, well, what's going to happen this year with all the injuries, whether it be McAvoy, Marchand, is Bergeron coming back, new head coach. What is it about this season that's going to make him say at the end of it, ooh, I've got to stay with the Bruins. They're going to make every effort to stay here. If he felt that way now, then they'll be able to get close on a deal or get it done. If he doesn't, that's a pretty good signal he's not going to be here beyond this season. And if that's the case, they should try to move him. They should do that. Move on. And then it comes down to, would you rather trade it for a future asset? Right, which is, I say that because a second round pick, a lot of times the guy won't be ready right away, but it's the second overall pick.
Of course, no deal getting done changes the dynamic entirely.
Well, that's the only way I would consider moving him.
Yes,
is that he doesn't want to be, you know, he's not ready to sign a deal, or he flat out says what Zoe says, which is I don't want to be here.
Then what, are you trading for an impending free agent who you have to try to sign?
No. No, not doing that either, which is why I'd take the pick, which is why I would do the deal.
This is not good.
The pick's a better bet. It's a bad get something feeling. That could turn into something long-term.
This is amazing what's going to transpire in the next 3 weeks here. Like, you don't have a coach yet. You're going to get a decision on Bergeron.
How do they not have
you have to sit down with this guy. I mean, you talk about a team in limbo. This is a team in limbo. Big question mark. Big one. They really know what they're doing. They may not have choice. Like, if you're him, you're already making bank. You know you're going to make bank next year. You ride it out. You play this year, go ahead and score, and it's one of those individual type years. Look how good a score I am with even less people around me. Because you didn't have your guys playing around you. And you go out and you be productive. Oh, someone's going to pay you. They're going to pay him big. That's where you say, that's why you got to make a deal. Because you want something in return for this guy. This guy walk out the door. He's one of the premier scorers in the league. You have that guy. You got to find a way to get this deal done. I'm sorry.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on the Bruins? Thoughts on the Celtics offseason? There's also this Dan Snyder story that has become headline news today.
Oh, Goodell is going to read a prepared statement, and then he's going to field questions. Oh, he did.
He's fielding the questions now.
Oh.
That's happening. Goodell's visit to Congress. You've got more news on Dan Snyder, more evidence that Dan Snyder, not a good dude. We'll get to that coming up. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Serious question. Yeah. Does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985, the phone number. What?
Hardy.
What's so funny? He's
bouncing over
just
there.
Trying to jazz it up, man.
Trying to find his groove. Tell you what, if you're on TikTok, don't look up the blackhead videos. Oh.
That's what you do all day. What are you talking about?
Oh, God. I just saw two bad ones.
That's all you do. All day long.
I don't know if people let it get to that point.
What do you think that you would have been able to accomplish in your life if you had, could get back all the time you've watched, all the time you've taken watching blackhead and pimple popping and cyst videos?
Watch more Office.
No, what? That's what you would have done?
No. Hardy's suggesting what could you have done in that time to be something more productive?
You could have learned Mandarin. You know,
what's that going to do for me? Am I going to go to a Mandarin restaurant? Am I going to go? I don't know. Am I going to get on a plane for 15 hours? That's never going to happen. Shoot, I don't even want to go to Hawaii because 12-hour flight.
Did he just say?
I said, I don't even want to go to Hawaii.
Okay, all right.
Come on.
Okay. The Roger Goodell appearance in front of Congress and front of the Oversight Committee is happening at this hour. And it's apparently a great circus.
He's always so prepared for these Q&As. Mr. Smooth.
Well, I don't think it's a circus because of him. He's there testifying remotely. Dan Snyder has refused to take part in this. He's overseas in Europe, I read.
I'd get away too.
He's on his yacht.
So good for him. He's away from all this. And I don't mean good for him like, oh, yay, good for him. I mean, no, it's probably good for him that he's not
around
at the moment because more and more stories are breaking about him. More on that in a moment. So this is a very partisan appearance for Goodell in that one side of the aisle, it wants to get into non-disclosure agreements. And non-disparagement agreements between employers and their employees. And they have introduced legislation to cut down on an employer's ability to keep their employees quiet when there are obviously things going on in the workplace that are terrible, illegal, etc. Right?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying the purpose of all this is. And then you've got the other side of the aisle just sitting there the entire time saying, why are we doing this? So I don't think it's going well for anybody involved. And so that's happening. But there was another allegation against Dan Snyder. I just started reading into it today. It was posted yesterday. I think it was the Washington Post who reported it. It was their exclusive. They were able to obtain documents that reveal a sexual assault allegation against Dan Snyder that happened in 2009. And that happened 3 months before the team paid a woman $1.6 million as part of a confidential settlement. How do you think that makes them look?
Not good. Guilty.
Guilty.
It's a lot of jack.
Yes.
A lot of scratch.
The woman accused Snyder of asking her for sex, groping her, and attempting to remove her clothes, according to a letter sent by an attorney for the team to the woman's lawyer in 2009. That's the document that's now been discovered by someone here. The woman alleged that the assault occurred in a private partitioned area in the back of one of the team's private planes during a return flight from a work trip to Las Vegas. Snyder denied the woman's allegations, and the team investigation accused her of fabricating the claims as a part of an extortion attempt. The team then paid her $1.6 million.
Seems an odd jump from
weird juxtaposition there, right?
We don't believe you.
Right. It's his word versus hers.
Here's 1.6 mil.
Now, the Post reported on this $1.6 million settlement going back a couple of years, but the details had not been known. Just that he had paid someone $1.6 million.
Right.
Now, the NFL is already investigating other accusations of sexual harassment against Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Commanders. This follows a bunch of other things that have happened within that organization that make it easily the worst organization in the league.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yep, absolutely. And has he been like technically suspended or
docked anything? In which he was supposed to stay away from the team.
Yeah.
But all indications are he really didn't.
Yeah.
Or hadn't.
And it's still being run through him. Like he's backdooring it. How are you going to handle Deshaun Watson's case where you can't even handle one with your own owner a dysfunctional organization?
But at some point, the owners have had enough. And so, you know, the other similar, and I don't even know that it rose. No, it was weird and creepy and definitely was sexual harassment. What was going on with Jerry Richardson with the Panthers?
Yeah.
And what he did was when those allegations surfaced, he said, you know what?
I'm selling.
I'm going to sell. I'm not going to put the league through this. I'm not going to put myself through this. I'm going to sell the team. I'm going to take a step back. They don't have that in Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder is a man with no shame, none whatsoever. And so the question becomes, will the league, has the league had enough? Have they had enough of Dan Snyder to say, we're kicking you out of the club. You've got to go.
Well, you have to worry.
And would they be best to do that? Would it be the best solution for the league? I don't know how you could say anything other than yes. That's the best possible thing the NFL could do. You want to prove that you take this seriously? Use all your internal bylaws to say you're kicked out of the club. Put your team up for sale. Jeff Bezos will buy it.
you got Mr. Ross down in Miami that was supposedly, you know, asking their coaches to tank to win. I'll throw you some cash. Nothing's happened to him.
I mean, yeah, but that's
if you get the
kicky, that's not this.
I know that, but if you get this kicky, whiny brat that's going to get thrown out by a bunch of guys, where he may know where some skeletons and some closets are hiding, that you want to kick me out and do all this, then we're going to put everything on the table here. You know, it's one thing. Yeah, I think we all agree, like, this guy should not own a football team and it should be gone and that thing is dysfunctional. But when you're in the boys' club and you know some secrets and where those secrets are buried, you could expose some other people. So this could open up a whole can. And that's what other owners may have to worry about. It might be easy, to sit there and say, get him out. But, shoot, oh, man, there's that one time. Remember, we were away on that one trip. You never know. You never know what guys know. You don't think Jerry's hiding anything down there in Dallas?
No, we just found out that he has a love child with a airline
love child. I mean, look at Derek Dalrymple.
That he tried to pay off, and then child became an adult and said, "Hey, where's my cut of your fortune, Dad? I didn't sign any agreements. Can't I have every right to track you down?
I have DNA. Yep. About Dalrymple, that whole case, upskirts, pictures." His own daughter was involved. That guy was head of PR, public relations for your football team.
Because these kinds of activities are happening everywhere around the league, no one wants to kick him out?
Yeah, they're all going
to
attack Daniel Snyder and gang up on him and kick him out. And he's like, well, what about all you? What about all your stuff?
Well, their stuff is in public. Dan Snyder's is.
Yeah.
He's been accused of multiple,
that's pretty well documented.
By multiple people, and the organization has faced all kinds of criticism. I mean, it hasn't happened with other teams.
It's true.
It is amazing. This guy, he's not bulletproof. He's not Teflon, but how does he still have a team after all the stuff that's come out over the years?
I don't know.
He's never been like, when you talk about great ownerships in sports and how much money you make on teams and that, is he ever talked about or considered? No, just an odd dude that liked to bring his rich friends around and all the actor friends. And I remember one game we were down there, and it was him and Tom Cruise walking around. They're trying to, like, stand up, see which guy's taller, walking around on the sideline. He's an odd guy. Nothing's gone well for them down there. Need a new stadium, everything. Like, what are you? Your team's in Virginia? Is it in D.C.? Where is it? So...
All right, some of your calls are coming up right after the headlines. 90 seconds, we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.